Welcome to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio today with Beth, Janelle, Miss Tara, myself, Sandy. And boy, last time we were in Matthew and with the parable of the lost sheep. And you know, sometimes we do get lost, but we have the reassurance that Jesus is always going to come find us. Today, we're going to go on and continue in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35. And it's another parable about how God is merciful and loving, and it talks about the servant that's unmerciful.
You know, this parable is quite powerful, and there are so many layers to this parable. I think it'd be really easy for us to gloss over and say, oh, it's just forgiveness.
We could, but it's not.
There's so many layers to it, and when I was preparing and studying, I was like, you know, I'm just not done with getting what I need to get from it yet. So I'm looking forward to what God's going to give us as we process through this. Mm-hmm. But last week, as I was reading in my personal daily reading, God was teaching me some new things to me. They're old truths. It's just, you know, sometimes it takes us a while before we catch something. And that's really going to become the theme for the month as we go over this parable, and I'll explain that when we get into it. And I'm just applying it in so many ways that it's like I love how he will take where we're at, what we're studying, and what we're learning personally, and brings it into every area, and so it applies very much with what we're doing. We have to go back and look at, you know, Jesus is with the disciples, and he's been talking to them about he's challenging them, actually. He's challenging them on the importance of seeking him. He's challenging them on the importance of finding him. He's challenging them on the importance of forgiveness. He is challenging them on the importance of prayer. And all of a sudden, we have wonderful, beautiful Peter, who is so impetuous and thinks he is incredibly clever. And rabbinic law requires that you forgive three times. At the fourth time, you're out.
Right.
And it's three strikes, you're out, that's it. That is rabbinical law. So every single commentator says, well, Peter thought, well, I'll double it and add one.
Yeah, I did good.
I'll double it. You know, I'm going extra measure above and beyond what the rabbis have to say. And so it's kind of funny how he approaches this. And I love how Jesus then gives a parable to help him to understand that it's not just seven times, but it's 70 times seven, 490 times. And that value actually is to symbolize the fact that it's impossible. You're always going to be called to forgive. It's one of those things that you're not going to hold on to. And so that is the requirement for his disciples. So in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, we have Peter saying, oh, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Seven times? Jesus says, no, not seven, but 70 times seven. He said to him, the kingdom of heaven is like the king who is ready to settle his accounts with his servants. And as the king begins to settle the accounts, he has one who owes him several million dollars. But this man, he's not able to pay. And the king ordered that the man, his wife, his children, and everything that he owns be used to repay this debt. But the servant went and he fell at his knees before the king, and he said, please be patient with me. I will pay everything back. So the king had compassion on him, and he let him go and forgave the debt. Well, when the servant went out and he was amongst his fellow servants, he had one that owed him a measly few $100. And so he grabbed him by the neck and began to throttle him and shake him and said, give me back my money. And the servant fell and he began to beg, please have patience with me. I will pay back everything I owe you. But the servant refused. Instead, he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay his debt. Well, the king The people were watching and they saw what was going on and they knew how he had been forgiven and he's not forgiving. And they were distressed by what they saw and they went and told. And so the king called the servant in and he said, "You wicked servant, I canceled your debt. Why is it that you have not shown mercy to the one who has a debt with you?" And so the king threw him into prison and had him tortured until he could pay back what he owed. And then Jesus looked at the disciples and said, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart."
Quite a warning.
May God honor the telling of his word. Big wow. lesson.
Big lesson.
Huge mm-hmm. lesson in this passage. And so what it is, I mean, there's so much more here than what is just stated. And I don't think I would have caught this if I had not been reading what I was reading in my daily reading plan. And I'm reading through the Discipleship Journal's Bible reading plan. And so I read a little bit of the Gospels. I literally take, with this plan, an entire year to read the four Gospels. Mm-hmm. So it's very slow, very intentional. And then an entire year to read all of Paul's letters through Revelation, Acts through mm-hmm. Revelation. And then and the rest of it broken up, and then the Old Testament, but it also has the section of all of the poetry. So there's four sections, but it's very slow with every section so that you really can just dive in and get it. And I was reading through Leviticus. And one morning, I do not like reading Leviticus.
It's okay? A tough read.
It is. It's not my favorite book. I'm like, and so I started off, I'm like, "God, I need help." That's what it comes down to. I really am not enjoying this. I don't want to read this. Mm-hmm. I it's gross. I especially don't like the cleanliness laws because it goes into so much gross detail. I just need you to help me because I'm praying through the Bible over Grace University. And I don't want to just turn off when I'm in Leviticus because one of my goals is to have every page have prayers on it. And I'm like, "I need you to show me how this applies because I'm not going to get it. I'm dense." And I'm reading in Leviticus 5. And in 5:1, in the whole, I think it's the, what is that translation I'm reading? I'm reading the Holman Standard Bible. And it says, "If he sees, hears, and learns of a man in sin and does nothing about it, he is responsible."
Oops.
Wow.
Really?
Right?
That is.
Okay, say
it again. If he sees.
If he sees, hears, or learns about another man in sin and does nothing about it, he's responsible. And I thought, "God, why?" And then it hit me. The process of recognizing sin is holy. Mm-hmm. A person cannot get near God until they deal with their sin. So mm-hmm. it is a holy mm-hmm. act to have somebody recognize their sin. So if we see somebody in sin, we walk away. We're actually walking away from their sanctification. Mm-hmm. Is that a smack in the face?
Real smack because that just happened to me.
And so my prayer for us at Grace University is like, "God, help us not to run."
Walk away.
Because we really want to run. Hard. And yes. I know for myself personally as the Dean of Women, the last thing I hate is when I get an email or a phone call or somebody that meets with me in the office and says, "Hey, I need to let you know." And then I have to follow up on it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I was like, "God, can I just overlook it?" And God's like, "No, that's your responsibility to disciple." Yeah. But then I'm reading further. You want to say something?
Yeah. I think it doesn't say to know what you're supposed to do and not do it is a sin.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
For mm-hmm. us.
Correct. So to know this, now you're accountable. I'm mm-hmm. sorry, Beth.
Jeez.
I love you.
Okay. That's good. Okay. Because I had to look it up. Leviticus 5:1. Okay.
Yeah. And depending on your translation, it'll be worded a little bit different, but it says the same thing.
Yep.
I just liked it the way it was in the Holman. And then Leviticus 7:1 then goes into about restitution. And it says, the process of restitution is even more holy. Mm. And I'm like, okay, helping them recognize sin is holy, but the process of restoration is even more holy. Mm. And it's because we're trying to keep somebody from turning back. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want us, I know this
okay,
sounds
I have to leave now because I've got something I need to go do. That's been on my heart for 2 days.
No. I'll be joining her because I have about 5 things I have to do.
But, you know, we have to mix that in with all the rest of Scripture. And we'll find in this passage what we're going to look at is that it's all about the mercy. Okay? But we cannot look at forgiveness without having first looked at our own heart in the process of repentance, or in our own heart in the process of restitution. In our own heart and how we have been forgiven. Mm. In our own heart, how we have been restored. Recognizing how God has brought us into holiness. Mm. And if, I'm gonna dare say this, if I have this right, being a forgiving servant is going to be easy for me.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if I don't have this right, being the forgiving servant in this parable is not going to be easy for me. It all comes down to if I have recognized how the holiness of God has come on this earth through Jesus Christ on the cross to forgive me of my sins.
Right.
A debt that is so big, so grand, so huge that I could never repay it.
Right.
It is not a debt that is payable. Mm. That totally changes my perspective when I'm working and serving with others. And my heart changes towards forgiveness. My heart changes towards love. My heart changes towards giving mercy. And I see a repentant heart and I'm going to crumble and lift them up and say, okay, let's get restored.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I wanted that to be what we resonate in us as we now go through and look at this passage. Because it was like a radical lesson for me a week ago when God gave this to me. And then as I was studying and preparing for this, I'm like, God, I can't do this lesson without that filter. But if I have that filter right, this lesson will be made known. This parable will become truth in the story of my life. It will no longer be a parable, but it will be a reality. Mm. That is what I want. Mm. Isn't it what you want?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, now that we're all like convicted to the core, and I wonder if those out there are listening are just as convicted as we are. Let's start taking this passage and let's examine and look at it. Okay, let's just start off. Peter asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? 7 times. We started off talking about how Peter was thinking he was doing some grand number. I love
But don't
Peter.
We do that too? Well, I did I this, do. So this is, you know, I that do. Was good.
I've gone above and beyond.
One double and one more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have been in situations where, I forgave and I forgave and I forgave, but this person, you know, hasn't.
It's not from the heart. That's what hit me on this one is from the heart.
The heart is key.
It's the key.
That's the last
always.
Point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Always, always, always. It has to be because it says very clearly, so my heavenly Father will also do to you from each of you based on what is from your heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what Scripture says. I think we forget that.
I do.
Yeah.
You know, it really changes
and
my.
And that's why it's so important to be in the Word because you do forget if you're not reading it.
Mm-hmm. It is key. Yeah, and it's easy for me to read it and not
apply it. Yeah,
not even pay attention to what I'm reading.
Mm-hmm. Well, me too.
I've read that before. I don't need to.
But certain times it just kind of comes out and just punctures your heart.
yeah. And I was thinking through this. This is 2014. I think it was in 1994 I started reading through the Bible, the chronological. And so that's 20 years. And still, after 20 years...
You're still getting new. Yeah.
I'm like blown away. Like, I don't get Leviticus.
Yeah.
And then boom. Oh wow. It. How did I not see that before?
That's what's great about it, though, is because he reveals things when we need to see them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and use them.
Because it's alive.
It's alive.
And it's
well.
Alive.
That's right.
And we have to sometimes get things in layers.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter, you know, I love him. So here's the deal. I just got back from Israel. I have to tell you a story. something about Israel, because I now can't read scripture without having this in my mind. I saw Peter's house.
Oh.
I did. What was left of it? The ruins. Yeah. A church has built itself over the ruins of Peter's house. And it's the place that they're pretty positive in Capernaum, and it's the distance. It's just like a baseball's throw into the synagogue, a football's throw into the Sea of Galilee. And visualizing them having this conversation as we covered the entire circle around the Sea of Galilee, walked up the Mount of Beatitudes, was in Capernaum, did the boat on the Sea of Galilee, did all of these things, and thinking of this conversation take place, now I have the setting in my head. Mm-hmm. And thinking of him standing by the synagogue, in the synagogue, I don't know exactly where this takes place, visualizing him saying, well, you know, and it's mine, the rabbis. And I have the picture of the ultra-Orthodox Jews that were walking through Israel and visualizing the rabbis. And, you know, well, the rabbis forgive three times. So if I go 6 + 1, that's 7, which in their culture, 7's perfection. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So thinking I've given the perfect number for forgiveness. So just curious, anybody here been challenged to forgive one person, just one person in your life? Oh, at least 7 times? Yeah?
Yeah, a lot of offenders.
Okay, let's just...
Are you married?
7 times 7? 49?
Mm. Same person again, you're talking, same yeah. person.
Again, are we all married?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 490?
Can't think that, but...
I'm sure. Most likely, yeah. yes.
Yes. Yeah.
The deal is that if we are married, if we are in any form relationship. Of relationship, if we are intimate with anybody, we are going to be challenged daily. Mm-hmm. What would our world look like if we said, okay, my forgiveness stops at 3?
But the first thing I thought of was, is how many times my husband has to forgive me.
Oh, that's scary.
It's always
that's exactly what I thought.
Yep.
Janelle, were you going to say something?
I was saying if we only forgave people 3 times, we'd be alone.
Yep. It'd be a very lonely world. We have 1 minute.
30 seconds.
Seriously, that went so fast.
Yeah, it always does.
All right, you have to come back because what we're going to do, we only got to the first sentence of Peter asking the Lord how to forgive. We are going to break this down and we're just going to go through and look at, you know, what does it mean to forgive 70 times 7? What is the kingdom of heaven? And just analyze it through. So you need to come back and join us. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. And we just thank God for the donors that give to the ministry. This ministry would not be possible without you. God bless.